was Remembrance Day, a day that has been observed since the end of the First World War to remember those who gave their lives in service for our country. And one of the most famous stories told on Remembrance Day is the legendary Battle of Vimy Ridge. 100 years ago, in the spring of 1917, Canadian forces were engaged in a fierce three-day battle in northern France. The ridge was held by the German army, and it was a formidable stronghold that sat the highest lookout point in that area of the French countryside. For 3 years, the Germans had built bunkers and trenches on Vimy Ridge. And then every other attempt to take it by Allied armies had failed. In April of 1917, the Allies were strategizing together, and the Canadian forces were given the assignment to advance on Vimy Ridge. And for the first time in Canadian history, all four Canadian divisions from across Canada would fight together on the same battlefield. And through great sacrifice and heavy casualties, the Canadian troops took the ridge and forced the enemy lines back about 5 kilometers. And it was the largest territorial advance of any Allied army or Allied force up to that point in the war. The victory at Vimy Ridge was greeted with great enthusiasm back home in Canada, and it became a symbol of Canadian nationalism. Some have even suggested that it was the moment that Canada became an independent country. Brigadier General Alexander Ross is famous for saying, "In those few minutes, I witnessed the birth of a nation." Vimy Ridge was a great historical victory for Canada, but of course, it was only one of many battles that was fought. And one thing that we see throughout human history is that it is inundated with conflict. Battle after battle is recorded in the history books, and today is no different. Even now, battle lines are drawn, and conflict is always before us. Whether it's ISIS versus the Western world, or Trump versus Kim Jong-un, or Russia versus the Ukraine, there always seems to be a battle going on somewhere. And we can point to many explanations for these conflicts. We can point to the battle over oil and other resources, or the clash between radical Islam and the rest of the world, or differing ideologies and cultures. The Bible, however, teaches us that what we see is only on the surface of a far greater struggle, the battle between good and evil. Today, we're looking at another story from the book of Daniel. We're going to Daniel chapter 10, to a fascinating story that clearly illustrates this great cosmic conflict between the forces of evil and the forces of God, and the relationship between the natural realm and the spiritual realm. We're going to look at a man's persistent prayer life. That's where the story begins. The story begins with a man's persistent prayer life. Daniel had been fasting for 3 weeks, fasting and praying, and God had given him a vision of the future. And it was a vision of war, and it troubled Daniel, and so he didn't understand it, and so it bothered him. And so he fasted and he prayed. He asked God for wisdom and understanding. For 3 weeks, it seemed like God was silent. For 3 weeks, Daniel sought God in prayer until he finally had a breakthrough, and he experienced a powerful visitation. After 21 days, an angel appeared to Daniel, and he said, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven, and I have come in answer to your prayer. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now I am here to explain what will happen to your people in the future, for this vision concerns a time yet to come." Prayer is simple enough to do, but not always simple to understand. What I mean is that prayer is simply talking to God. It's simple enough that even a small child can do it. And even people who know very little about the Bible can call out to God if they choose to do so. But understanding how and why prayer works is not so simple. We might ask questions like, if God already knows everything, then why do I have to pray? Now, in this text that I just read, the angel who appears to Daniel gives us a small window into the supernatural. He pulls back the curtain and allows us to peek into the spiritual realm. Now, this encounter is really quite unique, to say the least. I know I've never had an angel appear to me to answer any of my prayers. Never had an angel appear to me and say, "Hey, Rob, here's the winning numbers to the lottery that you're asking for." I've never had that happen, at least not to me. I never had an angel appear to me and explain why the answer to my prayer was delayed. And so this is a unique occurrence. The truth is, the Bible doesn't explain a lot about what goes on in the heavenly realms. We do get some clues from Scripture, like in the book of Revelation. But it doesn't seem to be a real major theme in most of the Bible. Most of it is a mystery to us. But here in Daniel chapter 10, the angel pulls back the curtain for a moment so we can see what's happening on the other side. And so, what do we see? And what can we learn from Daniel's visitation? Well, for one thing, we learn that there is an invisible battle going on in the heavenlies between the forces of evil and the forces of God. Daniel had been praying for wisdom to understand the vision that he'd seen. But the answer to his prayer was delayed, and the angel tells Daniel why. The angel tells Daniel that an evil spirit, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia, blocked his way for 21 days. An invisible battle between good and evil was taking place. A good old-fashioned demon versus angel fist fight, you might say. Well, actually, I really don't have any idea how angels and demons resolve their standoffs. I'm not sure how they resolve this conflict that's mentioned in the story. But the Bible does tell us that evil spirits can be cast out and they can be bound. Other than that, I don't really know. In my mind, I can picture the angel punching the demon in the nose like John Wayne. But I doubt that's really how it happened. All I know for sure is that these two spiritual beings had some kind of a skirmish. And the angel tells Daniel that he needed some help or needed some backup. That Michael, one of the archangels, came to help him battle the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now, I know some people might find this story a little bit on the crazy side. It kind of sounds like something right out of a Hollywood movie. And some might just chalk it up to a kooky religious mythology. But before you dismiss me as kind of a crazy preacher talking nonsense, let me ask you this question. Do you believe evil exists? Or is there no such thing as good and evil? Can you look at this world and say that there is no such thing as evil? Why do people randomly shoot masses of people at music concerts or in schools or in churches? Or randomly run over people in the street with a truck just for the sick satisfaction of killing? Is that not evil? And if evil exists, then where does evil come from? Well, the Bible gives us an answer to this question. According to the Bible, there is a visible physical realm and an invisible spiritual realm. And in the heavenly or spiritual realm, there is a God who is holy and there is a devil who is evil. Now, we don't know a lot about the devil or where he came from, but we do know that Lucifer rebelled against God and was thrown out of heaven. And when Lucifer rebelled against God and was judged, some of the angels fell with him. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 through 9, it says, "There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and the dragon lost the battle, and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels." There's more to this world than meets the eye. Our world has two realms. There's a natural realm with which we are familiar, and our five senses help us to understand and navigate this natural realm. But our world also has an invisible spiritual realm, invisible in the sense that it's not visible to the human eye, unless you have a vision or a visitation like the one that Daniel had. Just because something is invisible doesn't mean it's not real. For example, take a look around this room and look at any object in this room, or any person for that matter. And then think about this. It's all made up of atoms. And atoms are made up of very tiny particles called protons and neutrons and electrons. And they are very tiny and even contain energy, and yet they are invisible. And yet they're everywhere. I mean, how weird is that? Atoms are invisible, and yet they are just as real as everything you can see. In a similar way, there is an invisible spiritual realm that is just as real as the natural realm. We need to understand that these two realms are not two different worlds, but one world. And they make up one world which has two realms, the natural and the spiritual. And even though we make a distinction between them, they are not isolated from each other. Instead, they overlap each other. In other words, things that happen in the spiritual realm have an effect on things in the natural realm. So much so that the battle between the forces of evil and the forces of God affect you and me personally. They affect both us and the natural world we live in. That's why the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." In 6,000 years of human history, why haven't we been able to achieve world peace? Because our fight is not against flesh and blood. It's against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Now, before I give the devil too much credit, I want to be clear that he is defeated. 1 John 3:8 says, "The Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil." Jesus stormed the gates of hell when he carried his cross up a hill called Calvary and died for the sins of the world. 3 days later, he defeated death by being raised from the grave. And now he sits on a throne in heaven at the right hand of the Father. In the book of Ephesians, it says, "Now he," meaning Jesus, "now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things." Jesus is the victor and sits on a heavenly throne of authority. And Satan is defeated. The Bible tells us that the eternal lake of fire was prepared for the devil and his angels, and that a time is coming when he will be cast into it. But until that day comes, the Bible gives us this assurance that we do not have to fear the devil. We have no reason to fear the devil. 1 John 4:4 says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Amen? By his death and resurrection, Christ defeated the devil. As believers, we have the Spirit of Christ living in us, which means that when the powers of evil come against us, we don't fight for victory, we fight from victory, because the Spirit of Christ enables us by faith to walk in Christ's victory. In this world, there's a battle going on between good and evil, and we are all caught up in this cosmic battle, just like Daniel was. In his case, he found out that the answer to his prayer was being held up by an evil spirit. And so what did Daniel do to overcome this spiritual opposition? Did he find the spirit prince of Persia and punch him in the nose like John Wayne? No, that's not what he did, is it? So what did he do then? He prayed, right? And how many times did he pray? Just once? No, he prayed for 21 days until he had a breakthrough. And here's the lesson for us today, that we win spiritual battles through persistent prayer. This is the spiritual weapon that God has given us to use. And that's why Jesus taught us that we should always pray and not give up. In Luke chapter 18, it says that one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show them that they should always pray and never give up. "There was a judge in a certain city," he said, "who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly, saying, 'Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy.' The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, 'I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests.' Then the Lord said, 'Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off?'" Jesus is teaching us that we need to be tenacious in our prayers. We should be like the 3-year-old boy that Paul Harvey told about. And he went to the grocery store with his mother. Before they entered the grocery store, she said to him, "Now, you're not going to get any chocolate chip cookies, so don't even ask." She put him in the cart, and he sat down in that little child's seat, and she wheeled around the aisles. He was doing just fine until they came to the cookie section. He saw those chocolate chip cookies. He stood up on the seat and said, "Mom, can I have some chocolate chip cookies?" She said, "I told you not to even ask. You're not going to get any at all." And so he sat back down. They continued down the aisles, but in their search for certain items, they ended up back in the cookie aisle again. "Mom, can I please have some chocolate chip cookies?" She said, "I told you, you're not going to have any, so sit down and be quiet." Finally, they're approaching the checkout lane, and the boy sensed that this may be his last chance. So he just, before they got to the lineup, the checkout line, he stood up in the seat of the cart, and he shouted in his loudest 3-year-old voice, "In the name of Jesus, may I have some chocolate chip cookies?" And everyone around him just laughed, and some people applauded. And due to the generous nature of the other shoppers, the little boy and his mother left with 23 boxes of chocolate chip cookies. That's the power of persistence. We ought always to pray and not give up. But why? Why should we always pray and not give up? I mean, is God deaf? Is it hard to get his attention? Do we have to keep bothering him until he throws up his hands in disgust and says, if I don't grant the request, they're going to drive me crazy. I'll get no rest. No, I don't think that's the issue at all. In fact, our text this morning seems to be saying something else entirely. From the very first day Daniel prayed, his prayer was heard, and an angel was sent. But this is one of those rare times that God pulls back the curtain and he lets us see what's happening behind the scenes. It's kind of like when you're at a theatrical play and the curtain is closed. You don't usually see what's taking place behind that curtain. If you didn't know better, you might never realize that while that curtain is closed, the props are being brought out, the scenery is changed, and the actors are taking their positions. But every once in a while, someone slips up and the curtain is accidentally drawn back and you see what's taking place behind the scenes. And that's what God is doing here. He's drawing back the curtain so you see what would ordinarily be hidden from your eyes. When Daniel prayed, demonic forces rose up and angelic warfare broke out. So you know what that means? That means that when you pray, you turn loose the very powers of heaven. That means that when you pray, you have the power to battle the very forces of darkness. That means that when you pray, there are angels willing to fight to answer your prayers. As Hebrews 1:14 tells us, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. When you pray, angels are ready to move on your behalf. Now here's an interesting question. Daniel prayed 21 days. The angel was sent the first day he prayed, but didn't arrive until the 21st day. Now here's the question. What might have happened if Daniel had given up on his prayers? What if he had quit on the 14th day, or the 15th, or the 16th? Would the angel have arrived with his answer? The Bible doesn't say, but the implication is, maybe not. Jesus taught that we should always pray and not give up. Not because God is hard of hearing, not because God needs to be pestered into answering our requests, not because he doesn't want to answer us. No, Jesus taught us to always pray, not give up, because when we pray, our prayers carry weight. Every time you and I pray, we unleash more and more power from the throne of God. Are you praying for someone in your family to become a Christian? Every prayer you pray, the Holy Spirit goes to work, drawing that person to Christ. Do you pray for your friends in their daily struggles? Every prayer you pray imparts more and more power from God to them. You have difficulties with a person at work. Every prayer you lift up to God's throne brings God's power to bear on difficult people and situations. Prayer is not a passive act on our part. Prayer is an aggressive act of ministry. You are putting your shoulder to the wheel and moving the forces of heaven. One man described his prayers this way. He said, "When I pray, I push. When everything seems to go wrong, I push. When my job gets me down, I push. When people don't react the way I think they should, I just push. When my money looks funny and the bills are due, I just push. When I want to curse people out for whatever reason, I just push. When people don't understand me, I just push." Push stands for pray until something happens. Pray until something happens. And so push your prayers. Empower the angels of God. Unleash the power of heaven through your persistent prayer. Samuel Chadwick was a fiery Methodist preacher in 19th century England. Once he said, "The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless study, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks our wisdom, but trembles when we pray." And so I encourage you this morning to make room in your life for prayer, because the spiritual battles that you face are won through persistent prayer. I'm going to invite the worship team to come. Heavenly Father, we give you praise this morning. We thank you for all the answers that we have received in prayer. And Lord, we trust you with the ones that we don't understand. Sometimes you say yes, sometimes you say no, sometimes you say wait. But Lord, we know that you answer prayer. But you have called us to do our part, to walk in faith, to not give up, and to pray with persistence. Father, I pray that when we go through those extended periods of time when we feel like heaven is silent, that you'd help us to maintain a faith in our hearts, to continue to be persistent, to trust in you, and to be persistent in our prayers. Lord, we don't understand how all this works, but Lord, we understand what your word says. It's very clear that we need to be persistent. Father, help us to be reminded of that principle when we're discouraged in our prayer life. And Father, help us never to take prayer lightly or to dismiss it. Father, I pray that you would empower your people with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would help us to walk in the victory that Christ has gained for us. Lord, we understand that the devil is defeated. We thank you that we serve an almighty, sovereign God. And Lord, we put our trust in you this morning. As we commit our lives to a walk of faith, Lord, help us to walk in our prayer life in persistence and in discipline, Lord, that we could experience the best of what you have for us and for others. Lord, we ask that you would unleash heaven as we get on our knees. We thank you that your word promises us that, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name.